Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 185, part 2, the conclusion to battles. Today is Sunday, February 6, 2011. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's club. Up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. You can also call the comment line. That number is 1-877-489-0922, and the local number is 612-208-0916. Scripture links within the message are in the show notes at Pastor Paul's blog. Pastor Paul's podcast is twice weekly. Part one is on Friday. Part two is on Sunday. For the month of February, these are the messages: battles, division, nothing, from nothing to all things. Have a great month of February. We'll see you back here twice weekly for Pastor Paul's podcast. God bless you.
I'm reminded of Gideon when he told them to take a look down, and they had all of these warring men down there. Wow, I mean, they were scarred from head to toe, and he gave them their leave, and they had that mass exodus, you know. But anyway, going on as far as they're concerned, the Ark of God can be taken by the Philistines because they turn their backs. You ever see somebody doing something and you turn your back and pretend like you didn't see it? We're coming tonight. I was up in this area up in here, and there's a sign up there. It says, if you witness an accident on 5-14-86, something like that, please call this number. Nobody's going to call. People don't want to get involved, do they? People do not want to get involved with other people's problems. I got enough problems of my own, man. Well, isn't that the way it is? Now, you call up somebody enough times, and pretty soon they're going to say, oh, really, now, you're going to have to quit calling me all the time. Well, that's the time to call upon the name of the Lord in the time of trouble, and He will answer. But anyway, people lose their courage to fight for Jesus. They do. These Ephraimites ought to too, as Joshua had set them example, to have conquered Canaan to have driven out the Canaanites who were still there, and some of us still have sins that live because we've turned our backs on them. Turn your backs on them. Instead of contending with them. You got a temper? Now, is your excuse, I got red hair and Irish, or I got freckles, and everybody's got freckles like that, of course, then it's in their bloodline. They just have tempers. Well, a lot of Christians have tempers. Well, now you got to slay them. Do you have fear? Do you have Canaanites of fear? Well, don't turn your back on it. Don't claim that it's non-existent. Well, it's not there. I don't see it. That's like a wolf standing outside your door. And says, don't go outside that door. There's a wolf out there. It's got teeth about that long. It's got fangs. Man, this thing is mean. It's got foam running out of its mouth. It'll bite you. Oh, no. No, it's not there. It's a figment of your imagination. Just pretend like it isn't there. See, they can smell fear. And if they smell fear, they'll bite you. They'll bite you anyway. Don't just pretend like it isn't there. Nice wolf. Ah! It says the devil is a roaring lion. Why, are you going to say he's not there? Non-existent? No, he's there. Better believe he's there. How many know the devil's there? He's here and he's there and he's everywhere. You ever try to jump in your spiritual car and ditch him? No, you got to slay him. You got to slay these things. Because if you don't overcome it, it'll overcome you. Rest assured that you are guilty. And that your turn, if you turn your back and you don't fight with it and you don't contend with it, you're going to lose. Do not be content, people, the way you are tonight. You listening on the radio today. Change. It says, go from glory to glory. Well, how do you do that? You've got to die daily, the Bible says. And you'll have plenty of people help you to do that if you'll let your feathers get a little bit ruffled. And it's the same with drinking, it's the same with smoking, it's the same with dividers and slanders. Those are the enemy and you got to face them. You turn your back on it and try to act like it never happened, and what will happen? Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. People all around us say the devil hasn't found us all. Say it isn't so. Huh? It is so. Don't try to pretend like it isn't so when it is so. But many of you are doing as best as is within you. Or at least I hope you soon will be. But I'm afraid a whole lot of you people listening on the radio are not doing what you should do. But are slinking and sliding away from a practical purpose in God using, now famous little Christian cliches. Going in the synagogues to be seen of men. Going to church to be seen. Going to meetings to be seen. Won't sit down. Last night at a meeting, there were people that would not sit down. People were sitting down all over, and there were people that were standing up. They wanted to be seen. They would not sit down. And I just asked one guy, says, is there no chair up there? Oh, yeah, I have a chair. Are you hearing this? Now, a lot of us are not doing what we should do, but shrinking from duty. Going to 14 churches. Now, you're well informed of what's going on and where. You are a walking multiple church bulletin board. You are well fed, but you're underworked. And you are getting spiritually fatter every day. Now, I'd call that sort of a hog, a word hog that lays in the mud and rolls around and eats and grunts and rolls around in it. And I'd like to ask you a question. Just exactly what are you doing for Jesus running all over the place? What are you doing? Are you trying to stay uncommitted? Now, I think a lot of folks like that are vagrants. What would you call them? Vagabonds. Wanderers. And they wander like nomads from one church to the next. I used to get them when I was in the suburbs. Sometimes they'd come six at a time. They get mad at something that happened over there or something that happened over. I don't have to worry about that down here. Nobody comes down here. How many hearing this? Are you hearing it? But they'd wander in. Oh, we were so thrilled by the message, brother so-and-so, and I don't want to say anything, but you know, we were over at that church, and this happened and that happened, and we just got disgusted, and I said, I mentioned it to my friends here, and let's go over and see Pastor Paul. I mean, let's just go over, and we just so enjoyed this today. I mean, we really did. And I thought to myself, how many other preachers have you told the very same thing? We just really enjoyed this today. And I looked down, and they had track shoes on. I thought, well, they won't be here long. Or they had shuffling shoes on. You ever heard that song, Shuffling Off to Buffalo? Where's the commitment? Where's standing in the day of battle? You're very little credit to anybody, and I hope you're listening to this. And it says in the Bible, we must all labor while we still can. And in our own place. And do not do, I would add, like the children of Ephraim, who turned their back in the day of battle. Well, let's look at why they did it. And let's look also at when they did it. They turned their back, and their doing so would not have mattered so much. No, it wouldn't have mattered quite as much if they would have done it in the day of... Hey, a lot of people turn their backs in the day of... If they'd done it in the day of feasting, it would have been so bad. I've never seen a Christian turn his back yet on the day of feasting. Right? No, they're front and center. They're standing there at the plate and heaping it on there, you know, until it's about that high. Now, I'm just using food. But I'm talking about a day of feasting, spiritual feasting. No one turns their back on that day. Is that right? We're talking about battles. Now, tomorrow, Don is going to be involved in the Battle of the Bands. Right? Let me tell you, it'll be a battle. Won't it? They called it right. And I'm not getting on your case. I'm just saying it will be a battle. Could almost end up in a fist fight. Battle of the bands. Battle of the doctrines. Battle of the preachers. Battle of the people. Battle, battle, battle. Why are they battling about? Don't turn your back in the day of the battling of the bands, where somebody will part your head with a drumstick. Now, you could spare people in the time of feasting. Well, you can get along with them if they're not in the feast. But in the day of battle, why is it that in the day of battle people turn their backs? But when it's the day of feasting and plenty and everything is coming up for roses, everybody's there. Praise the Lord. But when it's in the dry time, but when it's in a battle time, but when it's in a dedicated, let's get dedicated time, where are the people? They have turned their backs in the day of battle. Turn their backs in the day of battle. Turn their backs, yes, in the day of battle. They turn their backs, yes, in the day of battle. Where are they? Why, they're at Perkins. Or, for equal time, Pannekoeken. And they're all there. Every one of them. Count them one by one. But where are they in the day of battle? I was so thankful last night when the switch in ministry came. When the Holy Spirit started dealing somehow. And everybody was poking everybody. And it was great. I was enjoying it. Did you notice? And it was just great. I loved it because it just lined up and it was having a lot of fun. I believe Christians should have fun. And they were poking each other. But when the battle came, and they got so quiet, they got wounded and their lips started coming out and a little bit of quivering. We didn't expect this to happen. Where are people when the going gets tough? The tough get going. Where are they when the going gets tough? Are you hearing this, preacher? Huh? What's that? Oh, yeah, Denny's. All right, I forgot one, so. I mean, is this making any sense? Where are we when it comes down to the nitty-gritty? Why is it we can all stand in when we're in a spiritual walk through, going through, picking out spiritual goodies? But when it comes time to wash the dishes, we is gone. Excuse me, I got to get home. I have been away too long. Now, you never worried about being away from home until the battle came on. Now, all of a sudden, you have to be home. You've had your yap going for 4.5 hours straight. Either it had food in it going up and down, or it had words in it going up and down. But now, my God, there's dishes to do, and you got to get yourself out of there quick, because there's a battle coming on, and you don't want to get caught in it. Does it sound kind of familiar? And we are all, every one of us, guilty of it. You're talking right to me, I know it. I just know it.
I left dishes in the sink.
Oh my, come on. See, their faces were always to the front when there was feasting to be done. You can see them whenever there's a good time to be had. Man, they are there.
Hi, Sally. Hi, Fred. Hi, Joe. Gee, long time no see. Where you been, guy? Oh, wow. Mary, Joe, Pete, Fred, huh? You ever been to those kind of things? Everybody, huh?
But now a time a battle comes in. And what's a battle? Battle's when you have to get into your billfold. Now, we're talking battles. I mean, capital B. Capital B for battle when you have to get in your billfold. Big battle now. Will you turn your back on them? Well, that'd be like down here. Guy comes to take a collection, and you turn your back. And then he comes around the side, and you keep turning around. You keep turning your back. It's called the cold shoulder. You let somebody say, Colonel Sanders' chicken, what? We're talking big B here. We're talking gimme, gimme, gimme. We're not talking gimme, gimme, gimme. Oh, we're there when holidays and parades are there. Oh, we're all there then, aren't we? All our faces are up front then, aren't they? You mentioned a free trip to Israel. I'll tell you, there'll be a whole lot of faces up front. But then you mention a trip to Ethiopia with no pay, or a trip to the north side with no pay and a long stay, then you're going to have people turn their backs on you. Or at big name concerts, well, hey, everybody's there. Everybody that is anybody will be there. Not to see the person so much as to see each other. Say amen. Or a march on Washington? Oh, that tickled me when I seen that. And they had this march on Washington. What did it prove? Nothing. That there were a whole lot of husbands that were at home and they were mad because they were eating these lousy TV dinners, see. And then they had a battle to face when they came home. No, I think this, when there is something sweet to feed on, they do not think of turning back. Forward, ho! Strawberry shortcake, let's go get it! Da 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 da. Huh? But when there is a battle, when there are souls to be saved, when there are things to be done, they turn their backs. Why do they turn their backs? Well, they had to. There's strawberry shortcake over that way, and there's a whole lot of strawberry shortcake ministry that's pulling people and having them turn their backs on the reality of Jesus Christ and doing a little bit of suffering and getting involved. And they even lay scripture to it so that they say, well, here it is. And so they turned their back just when they were to be tried. Just when they were to be tried, they turned their back. I think there's a whole lot of godliness that's used on unnecessary things. Huh? What if you bought yourself something and what if you bought yourself a pair of shoes and, you know, and they were pinching your feet and they weren't warm in the wintertime and they look good, but they hurt your feet and they didn't keep them warm. What good would they be? Be walking around, God, my feet are freezing. Oh, ouch. Ooh, ow. Ooh, 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 ah, ooh, ee, ooh, ooh, ah. And I believe that there are some Christians then in relation to this who is good for every day except in the day when it's to be tested, when they have to walk with it. And then the pinch and the bind comes. What good is a soldier that's never been tested? Many, it's a proven fact, turn their backs in the day of battle. They call it buck fever when the guy goes out hunting and he buck comes up, sticks the head right in their muzzle of their gun, and they can't fire. And so they turn their back at the only time when they were to be of any sort of use. Here comes an opportunity to be used and to use all of these scriptures and to use all of this knowledge and all this wisdom that comes from God. And when the time comes to use it, they turn their back and probably get into another part of the Bible and get into another Bible study and don't use that word that God has already put in them, but they got to have one more Bible study before they go into battle, just to make sure. Well, you better make sure that your gun is loaded. Some people don't even know it's loaded. I didn't know the gun was loaded, and I'm so sorry, my friend. And they shoot their friend down. See, a fighting man is only good when there is fighting to be done. And the Bible tells us that we are in a fight. How many know you're in a fight? I don't want to confess that. No, you don't have to confess it. The Bible confesses it for you. You are in a battle. You are in a fight. You are in a war. You are. You are, you are, you are. Whether you want to claim it or not, that is where you are. You're in a battle. B-A-T-T-L-E. Battle. Battle? Battle? In a war? Poke you in your face? Fight? Battle? Huh? Kick you? Scratch you, put the sword through you. Well, I'm talking battle. What good are you if you turn your back? Well, this guy says, come, ding, and they come out, and the guy starts a fight, and the guy turns his back. Oh, you know, he's going to get hit. Guy's going to do that around the tree hit on him. Boom. Boom, he's going to knock him out. And that's like a man in any other kind of trade. There is a season when he is wanted. Now, you don't need a cook at 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, sir, wake up, sir. And he's got a great big cook hat on, and he's got whites on, and he just looks like he just came out of a cookbook. You know what I mean? The Hotel Sofitel. Sir, wake up, sir. Sir, would you please taste this gravy at 2 o'clock in the morning? No, you don't need him then. And there's so many people that jump the gun and want you to taste their spiritual gravy at the wrong time. They don't wait for the divine call of God and the divine will of God. They got all the promises, and they take all the promises, but they jump the gun with a promise.
They run the race before the gun goes off. And it don't count. And the Bible says if the vine bears fruit, it is very valuable. But if it bears no fruit, then it is good for nothing at all. Are you bearing fruit? Well, there's a lot of leafy Christians that run around. They got all kinds of leaves. Oh, they look so great. The wind blows and their leaves. Huh? They look great. And then we have the stubbies that are out there. But they're not bearing any fruit. Now the oak is valuable for timber. Even thorns are valuable for a hedge. Even plants are good for medicine. But if a vine bears no fruit, it is absolutely, positively, unanimously good for nothing. Did you hear that, you listening on the radio? Good for nothing. And if your vine is ingrown, you're going to die. It will produce a poison. It is good for nothing. The Bible says, will a man even make a peg of it? Whereon to hang a vessel, says the prophet. No, it is of no use whatever. And so it is with a whole lot of Christians. If the Christian is not dedicated, and if the Christian is not true, he is of no good whatsoever. And don't baby and try to hold on to him, preacher. Forget it. They are good for nothing. Well, even the world knows that. They even tell their own kids once in a while, you know what? You are a good for nothing. Good for nothing. But listen to what Christ says about it. Neither fit for the land, nor even for the dunghill, and men cast him out. Would you enlist a soldier that was a turncoat? Would you like to be in his outfit? Well, then what good is a Christian that turns his back in the day of trial, and at the time when they are most needed? I'm getting calls all the time. Paul, what is happening? I have never seen such mass hysteria. I have never seen so many people in so much confusion and disillusion. And I just don't know what to say about all this. I listened to the radio broadcast today, and I had to, you know, I was laughing about it, but I also seen that there was a lot to agree with in it. They're turning their back in the day of trial. Did you ever see when somebody calls for volunteer? Okay, how many want to volunteer for so-and-so? Well, no, they don't exactly turn their back. They kind of do one of these things. And they start talking to one another. Are we going to go, did you take the mower out? Did you put it back in? Did you put air in that tire? You know, there's a slow leak in it. They turn their back. How many know you call for volunteers? There's very few volunteers. Huh? Now you call volunteers to get into a feast, and you have to stand to the side. They'll trample you, run right over the top of you, bury you in the floor. You'd be part of the carpet. Have I made myself clear? But what good is a Christian that turns his back in the day of trial and in the day of battle? Now, in this verse here, we see that the people also turned their back in the day when victory was to be won. They had it in the bag. I mean, the soldier, doesn't he want to distinguish himself? Doesn't he want to rise up out of the ranks?
Doesn't he want to be promoted? He can't do that, and he hardly expects it to happen during a time of peace. You can't be promoted. You can't grow in the Word until you get into a battle. And if you won't commit yourself to the battle, how are you ever going to get a battlefield commission? How are you ever going to raise up in the ranks? Isn't that the way it is with a Christian soldier? Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus marching on before. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Huh? I mean, you make no advances if you're not in a fight. I can win if I'm in a war. If I'm not in a war, I can't win. And how can you win the race if you're not in the race? And how can you get into boxing but that you buffet the air? If there's no opponent, if he's non-existent, if you claim he wasn't there. I claim you're not there, ooh. Claim you're not there, ooh. He's still there. Big and mean as life itself, he is there. Are you hearing this? You cannot win if you're not in a war. My only opportunity for conquering is when I am fighting. It says, I am more than a conqueror through Christ. But we don't get in any situations where we conquer. What are you going to do? Conquer the waitress at Pannekoeken? We won her over. No, she's tired of looking at you. Leave a tip. How many are you hearing it? There's a lot of waitresses. They just hate to see him come in. Say amen. Can you win a war, win a race if you're not in a race? Can you win a war if you're not in the war? Can you be more than a conqueror if you don't conquer anything? You can't even conquer your state. You can't even conquer your face. Go to the mirror and conquer your face. No, your only opportunity for conquering is when you're in the fighting. Now, when I run away when there's a chance of winning the crown, I'd be like an airplane that never flies. I'd be like a car that has never driven. I cannot win without fighting. Thank God when your trial comes. Thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Here's a trial coming. And don't get down. Oh, the trial. Trial number 9,714. God, will it ever end? No. Never end. It's a never-ending battle until you leave the surly bonds of earth. Wouldn't you rather be in the battle? Wouldn't you want to be what the Bible says, more than a conqueror? Wouldn't you want to be that one that runs the race to win? Wouldn't you want to be that one that buffets not the air but has an actual opponent? Wouldn't you want to be that one that climbs Mount Carmel and counts on the Lord over all the other gods? Wouldn't you want to be that one in the lion's den? I mean, there are trials. But what a boring thing it is to be up front and face forward during a feast time, but never when there's any kind of heavy battles, that you turn coat and run. God is choosing up sides right now. Doesn't the Bible say, counter all joy when you fall into manifold temptations? Isn't that weird? Count it all joy when you fall into manifold. What's manifold mean? That means a whole bunch of them. Bunches of temptations. You know why that you should thank God for it? Because now you may add, I should say, to your faith one virtue after another until your Christian character has been made perfect. How can it be made perfect? Here's a great big block of stone here. How are you ever going to make a perfect face out of that thing without chipping and chiseling at that thing? And how can a diamond ever be made perfect unless it has all the rough edges chopped off it? Isn't that right? No, there is a suffering and there is a work involved. You've been called to a work. You were bought with a price. Do you want to have a completed character? Well, then you got to go through the war. How can you have any kind? That'd be like taking a little child. Okay, now let me put it this way. Here's a little baby Bunting, little baby boy. And we aren't going to bring little baby Bunting boy out. Because you will have trials out there. The wind is blowing today. No, the wind is blowing. Baby Bunting can't go out today. Might get the colic. And the sun's out. Oh, he might get a sunburn. We can't take him out today. He might get sun all over himself and burn. Baby Bunting, nope, too hot for him today. Whoa, too cold, snow, looks like bad weather. No, can't take him out in that kind of weather. Can't take him out, there's too much sun. Can't take him out, there's too much rain. Can't take him out, there's too much wind. Can't take him out, there's too much noise. Can't take him out, there's too much pollution. Can't take him out, there's dogs out there. There's the lions in the street, there's a whole lot. There's cars out there, and there's school teachers and principals and kids out there, and mean kids out there, and terrible mean kids out there, and dogs and all kinds of bacteria. I won't take him out. Huh? You shield your child like that, and he is certainly going to be a wimp, right? Isn't he? And God isn't going to shield you like that either. But don't we like to shield each other? Sure. You don't want your kids to go through things. Oh, God, that kid doesn't know. Gee, he's going to have to go through this and that. Oh, you made it, didn't you? Didn't you make it? Hey, Bambino, didn't you make it? My dad used to tell, hey, you make it. I made it. You can do it. Isn't there a song, you can do it if you try? But we like to shield one another. Oh, baby, what's wrong? Baby, oh, poor widow Christian. Whoa, huh? No. The only way you get fireproof is being put into the fire. And then you prove whether you're fireproof. Isn't that right? See, you're not going to have any kind of character, and that kid isn't going to have any kind of character until he gets out there and he goes through his trial. He goes running. Now he's grown 1 inch, and he goes running, and he runs under the tables, and he's running away from his other kid, but he's grown 2 inches. Whang! Oh! It's a trial. Isn't it? He has a hard time feeding himself. Oh, God. He's got this chair. He's way down here, and the table's way up here, and he goes to put the fork, and he gets it in his eyes, and he gets it in his ears, and he gets it in his hair and everything, and hardly any of it goes in his mouth. It's a trial. Man, it's hard to even eat. What next? He tries to crawl on the chair, and he can't get it. Oh, man, his chair is so high. Huh? And the bed is so big. And people are so big and so mean. Huh? Right? Isn't that right? And we try to shield, and we go through our life trying to shield ourselves. Well, the Bible says, put on the full armor of God. Ooh.
to throw away, I've said right there, and saying all that, I've come to say this. To throw away the time of conflict is to throw away the crown.
Did you hear that? You listening on the radio? No conflict. No crown. Oh, simple, silly, nincompoop, cowardly hearts. To be afraid of suffering for the cause of Christ.
Well, I think you're even afraid of reading with him then, for you must be, you must do one to do the other. Some people are afraid of even being laughed at a little bit,
or being a little bit different. Unorthodox, they call it.
Says all that live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, godly doesn't mean you purse up your lips so they look like a pencil. Pull your hair back and in a bun and put on some corny old platform shoes and wear a long black dress with some chantilly lace around the top of it and put on some old stingy glasses. Doesn't mean that at all.
It means you live godly. And to live godly is to live dangerously.
I mean, since this is the way to heaven, why are you running away from it? Why are you turning your back on the way to heaven?
No, so many times people think that they're on their way to heaven and it's rose bushes.
Oh, I'm on my way to heaven. Things are getting better every day. Huh?
Well, you know, this sort of like Red Riding Hood. There's a wolf out there.
My, what big teeth you have. That kind of thing.
Are you hearing this? Are you going to make it to heaven with no kind of battle scars at all?
None?
You're going to walk in there with a white robe, your hair done, you just had a hair job and everything, you know, and eye makeup on, and the guys have their spray on and everything, you know, and they have their gowns and they're decked with jewels all over, and they just leisurely walked into heaven, talked and quoted verses back and forth. And then it says in Ephesians, oh yes, I know it well. Oh, yeah.